Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The Boston Public Library has been honoring the 400th anniversary of William Shakespeare's death with exhibitions of rare first and early editions of many of his plays. The BPL, which holds a vast Shakespeare collection, says the exhibit, Shakespeare Unauthorized, makes the bard's world come alive. Part of Shakespeare Unauthorized includes a high-energy literary show from hip-hop poet and actor Marlon Carey and slam poetry champion and educator Reggie Gibson. Every month, they combine poetry, spoken word, song, rap, jazz, funk, and country music to create Shakespeare to hip-hop, which makes the bard's words really come alive. And Marlon Carey and Reggie Gibson join us now, along with their bassist, Allison Keslow. And all three of you, welcome. Marlon, Reggie, great to see you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
It's really fun. I love this subject. And Reggie Gibson, you've been on the show. You've been on the show a couple of times.
Yes.
But tell us what, and either one of you just jump in here, what is Shakespeare to hip hop? What are you trying to do here?
Well, we're bringing together the root and the fruit of the literature that we love. Shakespeare being the person who's given us so many words and phrases to play with, over 3,000, I think, was the last count. And we see that hip-hop also gives us a lot of words and phrases that enter into the American lexicon. And what we're hoping to do and what we have been doing is combining what we find in Shakespeare, about his love, his life, his the mysteries surrounding his life, and what we love about hip-hop, which is wordplay and a little bit of humor and all of that, and bringing all of that together so that people can have a good time with both.
Yeah, I mean, years ago, Reggie and I started sort of sharing, performances. You know, I have a school. It's a really large performance. I'd like to have someone come along with me, or we need help. You know, we do workshops, and I would call him in, and he'd call me in. And so we started four years ago, decided to create something and call it something. We originally wanted to call it Homer to Hip Hop, but when you search Homer on the internet, you find about 60-70% of it is Homer Simpson. We didn't want to get muddled into that, so we thought Shakespeare to hip hop had a more poetic sound. And so really, people have been asking us, you know, over this course of the last couple of years, do you have a set that does just that?
Yeah.
Shakespeare and hip hop, bridge to gap, modern to classic to modern. And we, this year with the BPL, we really have created that, we believe.
Well, I'd love to give our listeners a flavor of what you guys do. So do you
sure.
want to just sort of pick a part of one of the numbers that you do and just explain it and just go right into it?
Sure. Well, both of our, all of our children love to watch reruns of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And they're always...
Which, of course, makes us all think of Shakespeare.
Of course! And so Marlon and I, we were thinking, well, you know, we need something biographical that talks about a person moving from one place to another.
Right.
And so Marlon said, well, hey, I can talk about Stratford-upon-Avon, which is where Shakespeare was born, and about him being there and him moving to London. And so this is, I guess, part of that, part of what we call the Stratford rap, and it's done to the basics of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay, here we go. Reggie Gibson and Marlon Carey, Allison Keslow and bass.
Now this is the story all about how one man turned the whole world upside down. And if you'd like to hear it, just sit right there. I tell you how it came to be known as the great William Shakespeare. In Stratford-upon-Avon, born and raised in the glove shop where he spent most of his days, helping his daddy raise sheep for the war and all, reading some books at the King's New School. Mom and Dad, John and Mary, they were doing pretty good. His pop was the mayor of the neighborhood. They had eight children total, just to keep it fair, but only one became the famous William Shakespeare. He had to learn Latin and poets like Ovid, Virgil, and Plutarch. He simply loved it. He lived during the time of the bubonic plague. Many people died, they could not be saved, but Shakespeare survived somehow, some way, and the 18 years old married Anne Hathaway.
All right. Reggie Gibson and Marlon Carey, we're talking with the co-creators of Shakespeare to Hip Hop. That's part of a program over at the Boston Public Library.
Oh, yeah.
Shakespeare Unauthorized.
Shakespeare Unauthorized, right, which marks the 400th anniversary of the bard's death.
Yes.
Fantastic. Now, I understand that you guys have two characters that you embody or perform as during the show. Reggie, you're Robin Hood's Fellow.
Yes, I am Robin Hood Fellow, and everything that is attendant to that name. Every funny thing you can think about is what that is. Robin Hood Fellow.
All right. And Marlon, you're Horatio Everyman.
I'm Horatio Everyman, yes.
Right. So do you want to talk a little bit about these characters and how they interact with each other?
Well, a lot like we do, I suppose. you know, we like to joke a little bit and talk a little crazy to each other sometimes. We help each other out with our respective words. Robin Hoodfellow is a person who, of course, is from Robin Goodfellow, who was Puck. Who was the Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream. But also there's Robin Hood, who takes from the those who have and gives to those who don't. Yeah. So I saw myself as a person who's taking from the richness that Shakespeare has given us and giving that, bringing that to people who might be Shakespeare impoverished.
Right.
And that's part of why I adopted that character.
I see. And Horatio Everyman?
And so Robin Hoodfellow sort of knows everything, is more hip to all that. He's sort of a guy around town.
Yeah.
And Horatio Everyman is more of, a lot of the material I've been sort of trying to create for this is really trying to attract, you know, the average individual who doesn't know a lot about Shakespeare, who might know a little bit and be intrigued. And so Horatio Everyman for me represents sort of the everyman, the person who, you know, knows a little bit about it, he's been around, but it's learning more as you go along. The part that is intrigued by Shakespeare and wants to know more.
I see. So how do you guys, I mean, can you give us an example of sort of how you, are these two characters interact? I mean,
The guides. We're the guides on this trip. So we essentially look at them as time travelers.
I see.
Right.
Because there are times when we talk about how, for instance, Shakespeare's life wasn't as documented as ours is with the texting and the internet. You know, every minute you're tweeting something.
Right.
That, how would they have that knowledge if they weren't sort of traveling along the timeline? So that's sort of one way.
And quickly, we do use a text which will be found on the wall of the Globe if people go there. It's by, Mr. Levin. Bernard Levin, he wrote a piece called You're Quoting Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And so we use a little jazz to sort of talk about that. And we go back and forth with that. So it's, you know.
And this is the idea that you're quoting Shakespeare. There's a lot of sort of references in the language that we use today. Even if you don't know Shakespeare, it's like, hey, you
You've
know,
heard
it's all
phrase.
Greek to me. You're quoting Shakespeare.
You're quoting Julius Caesar.
Right,
or as I was mentioning earlier, that if someone says, I'm more sinned against than sinning, right?
Yeah.
People would think, of course, because of the religious language in that, that might be from the Bible, but it's not. It's actually from King Lear.
Yeah, very interesting. Great. Now, part of the mission at the Boston Public Library is to attract and connect with younger audiences,
yes.
Right? So who's coming to your shows? I mean, how are you trying to do that?
We've been getting a lot of, we would say, 30 and ups who are also there, who are people who are frequenting the libraries at that time. We go to the rooms where the teenagers are, and we bring them down. We physically go to people in the library and say, come check this show out.
Yeah.
And of course, we show up in full Elizabethan gear.
Yeah.
So people want to see what's going to happen. And they typically show up, and they just come. And then some people hear the music, and next thing you know, it's like we've got, you know, fifth graders when we do our library shows. We do branch shows as well, not just the BPL. Branch shows. And there are a bunch of fifth graders who are rocking out
to
Shakespeare. And then we also have octogenarians who've been to the BPL to see us. So it's a full range of people who show up.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Now, one of the bits that you guys do are smackdowns between famous Shakespearean characters.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, I understand you've prepared one of them for us. But first, give us a sense of what you mean here by a smackdown.
You want to talk about this?
Well, as part of hip hop, it has this history also of the MC battles. And so some of that has survived in different forms. So we find that young people are attracted to these. Some of what happened in slam poetry gets sort of misinterpreted as that, but sort of it's the rap battle. So this is a smackdown where Shakespearean characters.
Who are villains.
Who are, in this particular case, we have Lady Macbeth
and Iago.
And Iago, like, who's the worst villain? So we take a different spin off of the battle rap or the smackdown.
Right. It's not how come I'm better than you. It's how come you're worse than me.
Yeah, you're the
worst. This is why you're worse than me. And we have the crowd judge it, of course. And so this is, you'd like us to do one?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Marlon is going to play Iago.
I'm
going to play Lady Macbeth. And for those who know the play, they'll get it. You know, Iago's just a bad, bad man. And Lady Macbeth is sweetness and light. So
no, not at all.
So
the smackdown begins.
There it is. Shall we, sir?
We shall. Well, if it isn't Lady Macbeth, I must confess I'm not impressed with you yet. Maybe if you had a few more speaking lines. That wasn't under my breath. Oh, what's this? I think you missed the spot. You should have worn gloves. You have got the heart of a raven with the face of a dove. Alas, poor Lord Macbeth, he sure did pick a winner. Remind me never to accept your invitation for dinner. Invite a fellow to dine, then put death on the menu. No lawyer in their right mind would ever defend you. Let me go a little further while the cat's out of the bag. You could have been one of the witches on the heath, because you were a crazy old hag, always scheming and plotting in the corners, lurking. The crystal ball says your future is murky. Lady Macbeth, I can regret that you're not going to get this championship or sink that battleship. Your mind slipped while you slept, sleepwalker. The dark side is strong with this one. You're a certified maker of innocent victims.
Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts. There's a knave in my face, and I like it not. For I am vexed by the essence that his presence has brought. Please send me a cleanser to rout out this here spot. I am not your wife Amelia, Juliet, or Cordelia. I'm a real woman, sinner man, so I ain't fearing you. Yes, I know how to use a dagger, and I got that diva swagger like Athena. And I can see you've never seen her, had to deal with a woman of will, who will get in your grill and spill all over you the way she truly feels. The way I feel is you make me ill, you motiveless, malignant menace. I'm the queen of Scotland, while you're the something that's rotten in Venice, whining and crying about not being promoted. At over 1,000 lines, your vocabulary's bloated. It should be noted, yes, I only get 259 lines. That's because men waste words and time, while we're women use our minds.
Reggie Gibson channeling Lady Macbeth there, and Marlon Carey channeling Iago in a SmackDown part of Shakespeare to Hip Hop at the Boston Public Library. That's fantastic. You know, it seems like one of the... Reggie, I want to ask you about this because we've been lucky to have you on the show a couple of times in the past, and the last time you joined us, it was right after you spoke at TEDx Boston, and you brought the audience to its feet with your performance of an original poem called Cry Havoc to Thine Own Self, Be Hip.
Yes.
And it was a response to Hamlet's existential question for men who have considered suicide.
Yes.
It was a powerful, powerful thing, but the point that was most powerful was the way you were using Shakespeare allusions to speak to younger people, right?
Yes.
And why, I mean, why does that work so well, in your view?
Well, I think that many young people need to understand that they're not going through those things alone, and that there is context and there is history, and that we as a species have been dealing with these things for so long that we've created characters that basically carry the weight of the weight that we're carrying. And we can look at how these characters get together and how they work it out or how they don't work it out. I used to work with another group that was called Changing Lives Through Literature that understood that there were a lot of young people who were incarcerated who also did not have good role models. And so we would come in and they would read books, and we would look at the characters in the books to be the role models that they did not have. So it's this understanding that literature can give you something that your real life might not be able to provide for you. Mm. And Shakespeare spoke to me as a young man, and continued to. And I found that with that piece that you mentioned, Cry Havoc, that it was speaking to my 8-year-old son. And once he understood what Hamlet was saying, he memorized the words to the soliloquy, and it's been with him ever since, and he's 15 years old now.
Well, I'm pretty sure we have a link to that piece at RadioBoston.org with the rest of the information about this. Reggie Gibson, educator, slam poetry champion, and Marlon Carey is a literary performance artist, and you can catch them the first Friday of every month at the Boston Public Library performing their original material in Shakespeare to Hip Hop as part of the exhibit Shakespeare Unauthorized. There's more information at RadioBoston.org. And gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in. I really, really appreciate it.
And thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me.
And Allison Keslow on bass, thank you as well.
Absolutely.
And that's it for today. Our show is produced by Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, and Allison Bruzek. And we had help today from Caitlin O'Keefe, Virginia Marshall, and Cassandra Sunt. Tim Skog is our technical director. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.
All this city is a stage, wherein and upon we engage to play out this melodramatic sitcom that is life in Boston, where we alternate between smile and strife, triumph and trap, where we hapless hacks script the action. Action.
Into the bottomless procession of bottoms, trotting around downtown, their donkeys' heads braying, praying to convince us they have the status of stallions. Enter the battalions of rapscallions, those ill-eyed Iagos who, like witches around a bubbling cauldron, concoct a poison to pour into the ear and the mind. All this city is a stage, and you won't have to wait long before you find that so good, so good, so good, charming song by the disarming Falstaffy and laugh-hearted wretches who are football-jerseyed, baseball-capped, gore-bellied, and jolly-jowled as Daddy Christmas. And then there's no way to miss those gifted, lean, and hungry-looking 20-somethings getting attired in the tiring room, standing standby, waiting in the wings, rehearsing their monologues, readying to hog the scene once they get their cue. Just do a walk-through and dig and check the Juliet on the third-floor balcony. See how she smiles as she muses about that skinny jean Romeo, the one over there brooding with the black id on his shoulder. See how he watches her gently alight her hand on her cheek. Watch him open his mouth as if to speak, yet says nothing because he decides to send a text instead. Shh. Hey, don't disturb the PhD candidates, those poor Hamlet-like ditherers who can't get out of their own heads. Every day you can watch them bother wicked smart librarians, those bibliophilic antiquarians who with Job-like patience attend to their whims by delving into the musty dust-pregnant pages of forgotten books. And look there, it's the Tower of Brain. How it rises above the surrounding scenery, how its red brick facade sets off beautifully against the manicured greenery. If you lean in and listen attentively, you can hear the undergraduate inmates screaming as they are upended and suspended by their young and tender uncalloused heels before being slowly turned on collegiate wheels and broken upon professorial racks. Don't drink from that. That's the Charles River, man. The Ever Brown. Steeping like tea as it meanders around and down to the sea, and it too, like Thames and the Avon, has watered many a word and song from many a busker and bard. Then there are those poor Prosperos, the politicos, who deign to direct this company of Calibans. We, the capricious cast and crew who elect them to keep this production up and running. The ones we are always gunning for and kind of, sort of, almost adore as long as the box office is busy and the take is fat. The truth is that they are more like the wranglers of cats, trying to keep us from scratching up the inherited furniture. All the city is a stage. Political stage left, political stage right. Some at political center stage playing in the red and the blue footlights. Some downstage nearer the groundlings, where the stench gets so bad it tears the eyes and gags the mouth. Ah, the funk and chronic halitosis that is the open house. But like always, this rank stank will eventually waft its way upstage, up to the hill, up to the cushioned balconies. All this city is a stage, and well, we are all actors, I suppose, all playing our roles, singing our solos, and a chorus of voices sometimes gone hoarse in the course of trying to be heard, saying lines that will last as long as men can breathe or eyes can see. So slow down, revel in the scene. Take a little time to spy each face whose sweat, work, toil, and failed dream is the oil, steam, spark, and grace that keeps this whole spectacle crackling and shining. So go now, pray you. Go into this city, into this unsceptered cockpit of a commonwealth that tries to hold the vasty fields of us all. For all this city is a stage, and tonight the theater is packed tight. The audience awaits you with bated breath. So take your place in the spotlight. And oh yes, break a leg.